Hello and welcome to episode number 36 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson, and with the four other people that I know are watching on YouTube, because I can see that there are six people watching. One of them is me, and probably one of them is Keith. Therefore,
that's weird.
Four others.
So if you are zero.
What is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you are watching
it says
on YouTube,
six. No, it says six, and one of them isn't me.
Please,
sorry, Mark.
Please let us know in the comments. Tell us who you are, where you are, and so on. And if you do have any questions on YouTube as well, please let us know. We like answering people's questions. Hello, Chris. Yeah. Thank you for joining us in the YouTube chat there. So, what have we got today, Keith?
We've got kind of three topics. Two of them are quite closely related, I think. So the first one that we had written down was crappy recruitment websites. I'll go into a bit more detail on that. And whether that's kind of a problem or an opportunity. The second topic was how to break into a new industry. So they're kind of related, which we'll discuss.
Yeah.
And the third topic was kind of when to kill. I've put when to kill a product, but I guess when to kill an idea is probably better. I think that's a kind of interesting discussion point, and we can talk about why that's come up for us. Hey Steve, by the way. Steve was getting worried that we were going to like list out some of his websites as crappy websites, but he's off the hook. We're not going to name and shame anybody today. Don't worry. We're just going to name and shame the general industry. Not any specific web developer.
So, crappy websites, well, specifically recruitment websites. How has this topic, I know it's something that you introduced, and what were you doing to get this to something that we wanted to discuss?
Well, as we've mentioned before, I think we've repositioned our business from a kind of generic WordPress development agency into something much more specific to the recruitment sector for reasons that I won't go into. And as part of that repositioning, I'm doing some content marketing work, but also just some general research. And we deal with a lot of recruitment websites already through our products.
Yes.
So we were already kind of aware of the general standard of website, and the general standard of website is, I would say, very low, low, especially from a technical point of view, but also sometimes just from a look and feel and usability and everything as well.
Yeah.
So what I did recently was I took a list of like the 100, they're not the top recruitment websites. I think it's like the top ones in the UK based on profit per employee or something. I think that's how they work it out. So I took this list of 100.
Hot 100, is it?
Recruiter's Hot 100 list. Yeah.
Yep.
And I looked at each of the websites and did some kind of technical tests on them, mainly running them through like the Google tools. So to get a performance score, SEO score, best practice score, and accessibility score.
Okay.
And the scores are low. Like, they're not good. So these are some of the best businesses in the industry. And the websites are really poor. What's actually interesting, well, I haven't compared this to other industries, so I'm kind of like saying that the recruitment industry websites are bad, which they are, but they actually might be just average compared to any other industry, or even better. But they are generally poor. Like, performance is generally really, really bad. And then doing that particular blog post led to another guy who runs a recruitment website awards ceremony to ask me to do the same kind of analysis on his finalists. So I was like, I was really surprised by that like request to start with. So like, he's holding these websites up as like the kind of best in the industry, and he was willing for me to kind of go and do this technical analysis, and I did it, and it was even worse than the Hot 100 list. So the scores were awful. Like, the average homepage performance score was 36.
Wow.
Average across the finalists. Like, these are the ones that made it to the top. So I think there was like 20 websites, I think. So really, really poor, and actually really poor scores across those other three metrics as well, which I was surprised by, because usually like the best practice score in my experience is like in and around 90 something. The SEO score is usually up there pretty high. The accessibility score is usually up there pretty high on most websites. And it's the performance one that's really usually bad. But anyway, right. So yeah, just kind of fascinating that here are these websites that people kind of hold up as like the pinnacle of the industry. And they were really, really bad from that point of view. They might be great at conversion optimization or like I think essentially, I think visually they were impressive and that's what won them the awards.
I think tying into that as well as to whether it's a problem or an opportunity. So I've integrated our product. Like we've got like 200 and odd subscribers now. So I've seen 200 and odd WordPress websites that are recruitment websites. And I'd kind of agree the general, not necessarily commenting on the general standard and speed and things, but they're quite often do-it-yourself websites. So they've not, if they have got like a developer, shall we say, it's not really a developer. It's more of a site builder person that's like looking after the site. And they use like lots of the sort of usual tools, Elementor such and such to build the sites up. So there's not so much as in, you know, it's there's less savvy knowledge about websites going into building those maybe than perhaps in other industries.
But I mean that's fine. But what was interesting is that those 20 finalists, only one of them was on WordPress. Right. And the vast majority of them were on proprietary systems. So they're not do-it-yourself websites. They're on a website
for recruitment.
They were bad.
That's interesting.
And actually, when you average the other list, the Hot 100 list, about 40, no, maybe a bit less, I think about 30% of those were on WordPress. And the general scores across that list were higher. Not because of WordPress necessarily. I don't think that is the main factor.
So I guess what does that tell us about the sector in terms of their websites? Does it say that they actually don't really care?
I think that's my worry.
In which case, that's a problem, not an opportunity. Well, I suppose it could be an opportunity to if we can make them understand why it's important. But it's a problem if they generally don't care.
I don't know if you can do that kind of like proactive education of things. People need to feel it. They need to be hurting for some reason. And if they're not, they're not. Like they're unaware of the impact, or maybe we overstate the impact of performance and actually it really doesn't matter that much to these people. It's hard to know, but yeah, it does feel like it's just not something that a lot of people care about. Which is interesting because most people that contact us, part of it is I want it to be fast. I want it to rank well. You know,
I think that's just what you say, isn't it? I just like, you're not going to say, I don't mind if it's slow. And do you know what? Ranking's not important for me because even if it's not, you're never going to say that, are you? You're always going to say, well, I want it to rank higher because it's not going to do me any harm. And I want it to be fast. So they're just like the default things that you say, really, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know whether that's
tricky. There's a couple of good sites, in there. But, yeah, is it an opportunity? I think it has to be. I don't think we'll ever win the overall market with a strategy based on performance. I just don't think enough people, I think it's proven that enough people don't care that much about it. They care more about shiny features and slick animations and hero sliders than they do about
Google sliders. Please.
But I think there will be people that do care about that stuff, and we've worked for some already.
There always will be.
So we just need to make sure we're getting in front of those people, which are kind of, so, I guess we're already into our second topic, really, which is how to break into a new industry, because that's kind of where all this kind of came from.
Yeah. I wish we knew the answer.
It's hard, isn't it? Because like currently, we've gone from having some visibility as a WordPress development team to zero visibility. Yeah, not a lot. We never did have a lot, but we had some to like practically zero visibility as a recruitment website builder. Like we just don't, we don't exist. If you Google anything that is remotely relevant. Google
doesn't know we're there really, does it? Maybe that's just time, obviously, because the website's changed. So inevitably Google's got this, you know, it used to be this, this website's now changed, kind of this. And there's a period where they don't really know what to rank us for, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense.
Gather, just like when you start a website and it's never on Google, you've got to grow that, you know, indexing and ranking. Well,
and I said, I think I said to you yesterday, I was like, it's kind of a good thing that it isn't as easy as just deciding that you want to rank for something and then it happens. You know, like it shouldn't be like that. You know, you should have to put in some hard yards to get there. Otherwise, anyone would just be able to just on a whim get in the top 10 for anything, which would be ridiculous.
So you mentioned putting in the hard yards to get there. What I know you've been doing some work with like SEMrush and stuff. What have you been doing to try and help us?
Well, not much, to be honest. Like I've been doing a lot of, I've done a lot of benchmarking work. So we signed up to SEMrush for a month and I just tried to like pull as much info out of it as I could because it's quite expensive. It's I don't know what it is, $100 and something a month. Yep. So then I think we signed up for a month and I was just like, scrape, just like download as many reports as I could on our competitors. But then you've got to do something with that.
Yeah, but you seem to be grabbing like what are the keywords that these sites rank for? What do people search for in terms of like recruitment websites, the sort of words they type into Google, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
because obviously something... we haven't a clue at the moment. When
that's right.
Gaining that understanding, wasn't it, and knowledge.
Yeah, so one of the insights was that recruitment website design is the keyword, like that everyone tries to rank for, but that's where all the traffic is. That's where all the search traffic is, which is why everyone tries to rank for it.
Yep.
Which we wouldn't necessarily have guessed, I don't think.
No.
Because we don't really call ourselves website designers or web designers, even though we are. But that's what I think that's what people search for if they're searching for for it. So that's good to know, but it's very competitive. I tried to get some.
There's only that. Like you said, when you did it, it only showed me there was only that term, wasn't there? Really, that was the real one that people used. There was a few others, but very few actually. So it's going to be competitive on that term, isn't it?
Absolutely, and the what I realized as well is that like there's very little kind of long tail stuff that's driving any significant traffic anywhere. Like I couldn't like the numbers are so low that you don't get data. You know, it's like 10 searches a month, and you can't find out anything lower than that, and everything seemed to be lower than that. So it's gonna. I think the SEO side of things is gonna be hard, but then part of that strategy then is to we need some backlinks, we need some relevant backlinks, we needed people in the industry to start linking to us, hence that content marketing work that I did, like that research that I did. So we'll see how that goes.
You need to write more things that people want to link to, don't we, really?
Absolutely. I need to think about what my next bit of content's going to be. I think that research style stuff, see, it seems to have landed quite well. Like stats and, you know, and especially like, you know, you can imagine people being interested. It's like, oh, so what are how do my competitors stack up in all these areas? And I think I would be interested if someone did equivalent research in, you know, in our area. But
Craig has a point on there. We've got to pop it on the screen. You're driving this thing, not me. So, and Craig says, LinkedIn seems to be a hive for recruiters. Have you thought about focusing some efforts there? Yes, we definitely have. We haven't really formulated a plan as such yet, but certainly LinkedIn seems to be where recruiters hang out. Interestingly, recruitment industry doesn't seem to really talk much about websites. They talk about a lot of other stuff, but they don't really talk about or appear to read about websites, even though it's one of their tech stack. So it's hard to get into writing about that stuff and getting them to read it. When actually, you know, I think there's lots you could write about that would help people on their websites, just stuff they could do right now with their website. But they don't seem to be, there's no like really good hashtags or anything, or people following things like that on LinkedIn. Mm. But yeah,
yeah,
certainly something to look at. I mean, it's there and that's where they all are. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I remember looking, so there's a massive player in our industry called Volcanic, and they had half of all of the finalists in that award ceremony. They were also a sponsor. Interesting. but they, I remember looking through some of their LinkedIn posts, and like, they don't even get a lot of engagement.
Yeah.
And they're huge. They're like the market leader by a long shot. So, yeah, but it might be that you don't get the engagement on LinkedIn, but people are still seeing it and noting it mentally, and who knows? I think we should talk just very briefly about a potential opportunity that we're exploring. So we had a conversation with a recruitment marketing firm recently, and it was a really good chat. And it turns out, and this actually wasn't, well, from I didn't know it was like a sales conversation, but it turns out they need a new website, and it turns out that we need help with marketing within the recruitment industry. So we're exploring a little skills swap, which is something I've always been quite reluctant to do because it's a bit muddy. But I think we might give it a go. So we're doing some exploratory work. Each of us are doing like a discovery phase each with each other to try to do some like strategic stuff. So it'll be interesting how that goes. They might have some insights for us and some strategies that we hadn't thought of. It might just be so obvious to them what we're doing wrong and where the opportunities are. Yeah. Let's hope so.
We'll see. We'll see what happens, won't we? We'll see.
Yeah.
We will keep you updated as we progress on our journey into a new industry. See how it goes.
Just before we start on the next topic, which is when to kill an idea. If anyone has any questions, please write them, or ideas or thoughts or anything you'd like us to discuss or mention. That'd be great. So Mark,
when to kill a product or an idea. So the product that is in question here is the Simple Social Images plugin that we built. Yeah. Because it's just, what's the word? Dead.
So we don't need to kill it. It's already dead.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So it hasn't gained any traction, hasn't sold sold a few, but not very many. Literally a few. It's interesting. I think, you know, at what point do you say that hasn't worked? Let's ditch it and go on something else. Because obviously, if you've got people using it, there are a few, they're going to expect a certain level of service, which they will get throughout the course of the license. But I don't know. It seems to be something that you want to get off your plate almost if it's not going to work.
Yeah. 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 Well, this is a really interesting one because we built this off the back of some feedback that, especially in the recruitment industry, people thought this would be amazing. So if they could automatically post or automatically generate sharing images for their job posts, because a lot of them are doing this manually with Canva. So every time they share a job on LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever, that they're manually creating this image with some overlaid text and stuff. So we kept hearing that same feedback. It was weird. It was weird, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting it. We didn't have loads of calls, but out of 10 calls, 5 people said it as their like main pain point.
That,
it was really weird. So we're like, wow, okay, this is, let's do this. We could do this. Where it sits perfectly in our wheelhouse and our capabilities. So we built it. We presented it to them, and nobody bought it.
Nope, literally nobody.
It was rough around the edges, and like there's features still to add, but that wasn't even part of the conversation. It wasn't like, oh yeah, this is really good, but it was just like send an email to people that had almost like requested us to make it, send them an email and just tumbleweed. Like nothing. Very, very weird.
I think what disappointed me about that one the most is that it's the one product or sort of like idea where we've kind of like done it properly, you know, rather than just having an idea and rolling with it and say, yeah, let's just build it. You know, we don't even know whether there's a market for anything. It's the one product where we actually did it properly. We went out, we spoke to people, you know, we got the feedback. We asked them what they wanted. They told us what they wanted. We went out and built a prototype, got a few people to use it. Then we made it better, and then we tried to sell it and to put it in front of the people that asked for it. And no.
There's so many things, though, that like we might have got wrong. Like the messaging might be bad. The price point might not be right. You know, our price marketing point. Skills. I don't know.
Unless you're giving it away for free. You mean the price point? I can't remember what you're selling it for. Is it 90 quid now or something for a year?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I mean.
Yeah, but it's more expensive than Gravity Forms. And Gravity Forms arguably does a lot more.
Yeah, maybe.
But then Gravity Forms has a lot more competition, so they have to kind of keep their prices, you know. And I'm just making the point that it's not necessarily the product that is wrong, you know, itself. We don't have a great reach. So it was a pretty small sample size. Like, yes, there were people that we expected to just jump on it. And they didn't. And that was a bit like, oh, okay.
That was weird, yeah.
And then we sent it out to our list of Job Relay customers and got maybe one or two emails back out of 200 odd people, something like that. Can't remember.
One, I think.
One,
yeah.
It was bizarre. And then I talked to a guy, that recruitment awards guy. Yep. So he actually does build some recruitment websites on WordPress. I was chatting to him about it. His eyes just lit up. He was just like, really? You've got this product? That sounds amazing. All my clients would love that. I was like, are you sure? Because that's not the experience we're having. Like,
but that even so, like, he hasn't bought any.
Yeah.
If all his clients would look, you know, I don't know. There's something strange there. Very strange.
He hasn't bought it yet. I sent it to him like yesterday, so give him a bit of time to try it out.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's just a weird one. I think I'm just trying to compare it to Job Relay itself. So Job Relay had a slow start to life, didn't it? And it's turned into something very successful for us.
Yeah, but Job Relay is very different.
Okay, so what's the difference?
There's two key differences. One of the key differences that Job Relay ranked straight away in Google. So every time you search for the thing that they want, we come up in Google.
Yeah.
And the second difference is that people are searching for it. They're literally searching for what Job Relay does. Are they searching for this? And if they are, they're probably not typing in what we've got on the website because it's quite a niche type thing, you know what I mean, to search, you know, are they called social sharing images, what they call. And I think that's two reasons why they're very different. I always said it's like we don't need to market Job Relay because it kind of does it itself.
Yeah, because our pipeline comes from our partners, our integration partners.
Google, because if you type it in, that's we come up the top. So
yeah.
We have, like, that's no effort to do that. We haven't like put a massive strategy in place for SEO because there's very few others doing it. In fact, virtually none doing it because people that actually, there's a lot of agencies that come up in the list, but they actually use our product. So,
yeah,
you know, they're all doing it. It's the same thing. So.
So, what is your gut feel with Simple Social Images right now?
Well, I don't see any point in carry on developing it. Like, there's a few things I've got on the Trello board that I think we should build that. It needs that. But I just don't see the point now because I've sold on it. And it's not, I don't think people are not buying it because it doesn't have that. They're just, it's just not in front of anyone. So I think there's no point in actually enhancing it further. You know, I'd want some backup, some feedback that actually people are going to buy this and it's going to make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it was people inquiring about it and then. And then ditching it because it didn't have feature X, at least the inquiry, like the interest is there.
But then, like I said, they're not going to inquire about it if they don't know about it.
Yeah. So part of me thinks it wasn't good enough, like the product wasn't good enough. And then I think it's not that that might be a small part of it, because a few people we know tried it and there were loads of bugs. You know, there were, like, when we pushed out that first version, there was a lot that we hadn't caught, and tried to fix everything very quickly. And I sometimes I think, maybe if it had been better when we first launched it, but I just don't think it's that.
But if that was the case, then you'd still get people inquiring and buying it, and then coming back to you and saying, actually, it's rubbish, I don't like it, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do this. But that's not happening, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it doesn't work like that. Nick says, it's a good point, do you have a free or feature limited version in the repo to give you visibility? The answer to that is no. And the reason, I do think that would be a good idea. We did talk about it, actually. The reason for that is because the way in which it generates the images is an external service that we have to buy a license for. So every time someone generates an image, essentially it costs us money, and therefore we didn't really want to offer a free one. I mean, we could potentially offer one where they can generate 10 images a month, but I'd have to build all that into the API. And I don't want to do that until I know it's going to work. You know what I mean? It's difficult.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Really tricky one.
Yeah, so I don't know where we go with it. Part of me thinks that we let this guy try it out. He's pretty well connected in the industry. So for the job side of things, let's let him try it out. See what his feedback is. If he's just like, nah, then I think we move on, probably.
Yep.
Personally.
I agree. I can't.
I think it's good to fail quickly. You know, and I think we're quite good at that. Just give something a go. If it doesn't work for us, ditch it, move on to the next thing. No point wasting no point flogging a dead horse, whatever the expression is. Right.
I was just going to say, Craig says, build your own small platform to generate the images to cut the cost. That has also been on the table for a long time to discuss. I think it's not small. That's the problem. It's technology that we don't particularly understand at the moment. Therefore, we'd have to either have an investment to do it or a lot of learning to do it. And again, it just doesn't seem to be something that is worth it at the moment, because there's no massively interest in it. If we suddenly had 200 subscribers tomorrow, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It would help us do the freemium thing, though. But
yes, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up. Absolutely. Mark, what should people do if they've enjoyed the show?
They should definitely subscribe, and they should definitely hit the like button. And, well, they already have commented. It's a live video, so I'm not sure how comments work. We do get comments on videos after the live. So
yeah, you do. Yeah.
You can comment on the live video, chat, can't you?
And then there's comments afterwards as well.
So thank you for joining us. If you haven't already subscribed, do subscribe to the channel. We do videos and stuff as well as the WP Cafe, which you may hopefully find interesting. So let us know.
Yep.
Anyway, we will see you next week. We're trying to do this as a weekly thing, Friday, usually at 1:30. So stay tuned for then. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.